Construction of the bypass also brought another benefit to Armidale. David Steller.
That was a bit of a fillip for our community here in that we had employment generated because we were going through a fairly flat period. There was a downturn at the university, which was our biggest employer in Armidale.
This fillip to the local economy was also experienced in Goulburn and was a consequence of employing, hiring and purchasing locally. Rod Chapman.
In the heyday, we would have had about 300 people working on the Goulburn bypass concurrently. The contractors employed as many locals as they could. They actually bought their fuel locally. They bought a lot of their supplies, steel reinforcements and other materials from local firms, as much as they could. They also hired local plant and equipment where it was available. It's not necessarily the cheapest way, but they find that in the long term, if they employ locals, they can get the local community on side and leave the local community feeling good. It's a great marketing exercise by most of our contractors, and they still do it now. I'd hate to put a figure on the number of indirect employment that we provided as well. It was certainly a large boost to the Goulburn community and economy for about 3 years during construction.
One of the beneficiaries of this three-year construction period was Goulburn businessman John Guthrie.
All those people that were working on the bypass, initially when they first came to town, they stayed in pubs and motels and commuted to the job. But they realised it was here for the long haul, so after a month in a motel, they rented houses and rented flats and bought fridges and washing machines. Most of the guys I saw in my business were driving F100s and Land Cruisers, and they had a very high disposable income. The blokes in town were earning $300 a week. These blokes were earning $1,300 a week. So they spent what they earned. So the Goulburn economy over that construction period was very, very high.
There were also economic benefits to Karua during the 2.5 years of construction activity. Cliff Johnson.
You couldn't rent a house in the town while the road was being constructed. For example, in our street, there are only six houses, and two of those were occupied by employees of Thies while the road construction was underway.
The RTA encourages contractors to spend locally. Dick Whibley.
One of the plans that we ask the contractors to prepare is their local employment plans for the project, and in that they identify some of the ways that they can spend the money in the community. And I think you'll find, particularly in Karua, with the number of employees requiring accommodation, all the rentable houses were rented out. I know every time we had to buy meals, we sourced it from the local community. They had a policy of buying from the local hardware store, all those sorts of things. Huge opportunities from the local area. Plant hire, quarries, material supply. So all these jobs offer a lot of spin-offs for the local industry.
Contractors try to fill as many of their employment and material needs as they can from the local area. Resident engineer on the Karua Bypass, Ian Long.
The majority of their general staff and so on, they try to source from as locally as they can. A lot of them are labouring sort of positions. Others were even in the leading hand positions, which were almost foreman-type positions. Clerical staff they get from local sources. All the aggregates came from the nearby CM Quarry, which is between Raymond Terrace and Karua. Cements or local cements, steel and those sorts of materials were coming from the local suppliers in Newcastle. Most materials were sourced fairly locally.
There were also opportunities for Karua's Aboriginal population. Dick Whibley.
We have an Aboriginal participation requirement in our projects these days, and Karua was one of the first ones where we positively had an Aboriginal participation policy or plan, and the contractor had to look for employment opportunities for the local Aboriginal population and look for opportunities to give them work, whether it be landscaping or physical work or office work, or archaeological work, looking for artefacts on site. We saw quite a few sites officers and Aboriginal members of the Karua Land Council getting those opportunities, but they wouldn't have if the road hadn't been built there.
Aboriginal sites with scarred trees and middens had been identified, and the Aboriginal community became involved in surveying the area for artefacts and places of significance. Bev Manton.
We surveyed all the area. You looked for the places where there could be cultural heritage issues that needed to be preserved. And some places where there's just scatterings of artefacts which were able to be collected at a later date. So all that sort of stuff was always all done. Where the bridge actually did go as you travel north on the left-hand side where it reaches the northern side of the river was tool-making camp, and there was all scatterings of slithers of rock that was used from there, and so that's still protected. And over the rock areas all underneath where the bridge went to on the other side near Horse Island, then the other places were just near some little wetlands, freshwater springs. We found evidence in those places of artefacts and a couple of stone axes and things like that.
Surveying the area gave the Aboriginal people an opportunity to learn something about their history and to reminisce about the past. Bev Manton.
This current generation, we didn't know about the tool building site that was there. And you can see that's where people would have either carried their canoes to there or made them and had them there and went across the water to Horse Island where all the crabs in it were, because there weren't any crabs on the other side of the river. They were all over here in the mangroves. So that was good. It revisited the history of the Aboriginal people of the area. Sometimes, especially in today's society, you tend to forget a bit about a heritage, the heritage of everyday people. So it was good to talk about all that sort of stuff and revisit, and we produced a small booklet with the RTA on heritage, and that's a good book for the kids for the school.